This episode contains explicit language and, since we're talking with a famous music producer, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Benny, the first thing I want to ask you is, you say you're obsessed with organizing your fridge.
Yeah.
You say in your cookbook that sometimes you stare into it for an hour debating whether you want to arrange your hot sauces alphabetically or by size.
Yeah, it's a torture.
So what's your current fridge sitch? How are things organized this week?
Literally last night, I was so upset. It was like 2 a.m. I'm exhausted from my day. I opened up the left side of the fridge where I keep all the drinks, and I had put in some cans of soda or sparkling water, but there wasn't enough room. So one of them had to be on top of it. And I lost my mind. I rearranged for so long. And then after 15 minutes of rearranging, I was like, fuck, I got it. I just have to drink this right now. I have to. There's one extra. I have to drink it. It tortures me.
I understand. I will spend 5 minutes rearranging the dishwasher to fit one more item in there that I could have hand washed in 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Do you like cleaning? I love cleaning.
When I have the time, yes, I do. I love mopping. Ever since I was a little child, mopping and vacuuming especially.
Oh, that's crazy. No one loves mopping. You're insane.
What? I like clean countertops and clean floors.
Oh, I'm more nothing like better than cleaning a countertop. Yeah. Literally.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. I want to start off by saying a quick thank you to all the people who have come out to our live shows over the past month or two. It has been really great to meet so many of you in person and to hear that The Sporkful is such a big part of your lives. It means a lot to me and to everyone who works in the show, and so thank you. And on that note, I want to add that the final show of my Sporkful Live Anything Possible tour is this Thursday, May 2nd, in Los Angeles. I'll be in conversation with comedian Andy Richter. We're going to have free food samples from Wax Paper and a special appearance by my pasta fairy godmother, Evan Kleinman, live and in person. There are still a few tickets available, so get yours at sporkful.com/events. And while the main book tour is wrapping up, I'm adding more new events, including a virtual one you can join no matter where you live. I'll have details on those later in the show. Okay. Let's get into it. This week, I'm chatting with Benny Blanco, superstar music producer and artist behind so many huge songs, including these hits by Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Maroon 5, and Rihanna. Altogether, Benny has credits on 29 number one singles. Being a producer means he works with artists to write music or lyrics or give them input during recording and mix sessions. And on top of all that, he's also put out 2 albums of his own that have been streamed billions of times. And he owns his own record label. So Benny is known for his music. But he's also known for a few other things. Number one, he's dating Selena Gomez. We're not going to talk about that in this episode, but, you know, I thought you should know. Number two, he played himself on the FXX show Dave, which stars real-life rapper Lil Dicky. And Benny's first ever scene on the show tells you a lot about his persona.
Somebody lay me down, pour buttermilk all over me, dust me in a light dusting of cornflakes, front flip me into a deep fryer, light me on fire, gently blow me off. What's up, man? Benny Blanco.
Now, the third thing people know Benny for is the reason we're talking to him today. He's just written his first cookbook, Open Wide, A Cookbook for Friends. It's an outgrowth of his obsession with food, which is at least as powerful as his obsession with clean countertops, and of his love for throwing crazy parties at his house in LA.
To me, here's a perfect dinner party, okay?
Yeah.
You have people sitting around a table that couldn't be from more different worlds, you know? You're creating an experience. To me, I'm always creating, I want to create an experience. So if we're doing an Italian night, I want there to be red checker tablecloths when you come in. I want there to be old Italian music. This is that's just you know, and you come in, you're like, wow, I really feel like Sinatra. Or I really feel like that scene in Goodfellas where they're trying to make the meatballs and they got fucking stains on their shirt. The
helicopters and, overhead.
Yeah. You hire a few helicopters.
Right. Benny's love for bringing together all kinds of people might have something to do with his upbringing in Reston, Virginia. It's a town outside of D.C. that was first imagined as a planned community in the 1960s. So it was a town constructed from whole cloth. The idea was to have a self-contained community with homes, jobs, shopping, and leisure activities. And the homes themselves would be all different types of houses, all different sizes, so people from all walks of life could live there.
They brought all economic backgrounds and types of people together, and you could have low-income housing right next to, like a large single-family home. And it was really cool. It made, like, my school was so diverse. We really got to know, like, so many different types of cuisines because there was such huge populations of where I grew up of it, you know, because you're right near D.C., so it's, like, so much, like, El Salvadorian food, so much Nigerian food, so much Middle Eastern food. And, yeah, I thought everyone, like, went down and got El Salvadorian chicken every day. And like, I don't know, it just felt like a norm to me growing up.
One of Benny's favorite restaurants was a local place called Reston Kebab.
I was so excited whenever we'd go there. My mom would take me there and we would get one of the meals and she would ask for like extra pita and extra sauce. And she figured out a way how to make it so that one meal was like three meals for each of us. And I always, you know, I always admired, you know, in the moment I was like, I hate you. We're just eating the same stuff. Right. But like, I always admired how she could do like leftovers.
Another one of Benny's favorites came from Safeway, the grocery store chain.
They had apple fritter donuts. Ooh. Okay. And you would get three of them for a dollar, like three of the biggest apple fritter donuts you've ever seen. At that point, I had never had sex. So it was the closest thing I could say. I could say, this is better than sex. And now after having sex, I could say it's at least equal. It's at least equal. And every time it's my birthday, I have to eat like minimum 2.5 full apple fritter donuts. And it's still like this like nostalgic moment that I can't break free of.
Right. I have a controversial opinion, Benny. I've had warm apple fritters like right out of the fryer and I actually like them better when they're room temperature.
Of course.
Why do you think so?
I don't even think that's controversial.
It's not?
Think that's like,
I thought people just assumed that like a warm confection is better than room temperature.
No. You want it like, so like the, all like the icing is like coagulated and
yes.
Like, I prefer it a few days old.
Yeah. But you need a little bit of like a sugary shell.
Yeah.
To have formed.
I prefer it like hidden underneath my bed for a week. No, I love, oh my God. No one, whoever wants a warm apple fritter, fuck you.
Benny was into making music from a very young age. In fact, he won a contest to record his own song in a studio when he was 9. So music was always a part of his story. His interest in cooking came a little later when he was a teenager. His parents had divorced by then and his dad lived elsewhere. Then his mom got a job out of state. Benny still lived with her, but she traveled a lot for work. That led to a pivotal moment. He started cooking more himself.
One of my friends, when I was like 13 or 14, got a George Foreman grill. And as a stoned teenager, that's the holy grail. Like, we didn't even know what it was. And then all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, like you can melt anything in here. You can cook anything. In, like the George Foreman grill was the greatest invention to a teenage mind.
Now, in case you only vaguely know what a George Foreman grill is, it's basically like a small panini press with a bumpy surface that would leave grill marks on anything you put in it. It was sort of the air fryer of its day, the trendy cooking appliance. It was originally intended more for meats and veggies, but people learned you could put almost anything in one of them.
We would all go to my friend's house, and somehow 1 gram of weed would get 28 of us stoned. And we would sit there, we'd smoke, and then we'd make the craziest concoctions of food that we could make. And like, we were making like sandwiches with like cheese and like rice vinegars and like nothing made sense, but we were Gordon Ramsay. And I remember making a sandwich and everyone was waiting, like when you make your sandwich, and I like pulled it out and I like cut it up into a bunch of pieces and I was like, this is insane. You guys got to try this. And like everyone did the, like everyone did their orgasm face. In that moment, I was just like, whoa, okay. This is that feeling that I get like when I make a song, when I make music. I get this little feeling in my stomach. It's like butterflies almost. It's kind of like anxiety. Like I can't even explain it.
It almost sounds a little bit like falling in love.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, you know when you're like about to get hit by a car and you get that feeling through your chest, or you're about to kiss someone for the first time. I get that feeling when I'm literally serving a friend a sandwich and I look at their face and they're just blown away. And it, like, I don't know, it's like bliss for me. I love it.
That sounds like that was sort of a big moment.
Oh, that was like a revelation. I was like, wow. We started like cooking all the time and we got really into it as kids. And, you know, we were, a lot of us were, you know, had single mothers. So we were like home alone. We would all like go over, and weed was very much a part of all of the cooking. I don't know how much cooking would have happened if the weed didn't exist. But yeah, we all got so into it. And it started like my love for food.
At the same time that Benny was getting stoned and messing with a George Foreman grill, he was also trying to get into music professionally. And he had some unorthodox methods of doing that.
Oh my God, I used to cold call record labels. So I would like look up a record label and I'd be like, okay, like who's signed here? Okay, Jay-Z signed here. I'd be like, who's this lawyer? Okay, his lawyer, Michael Guido. And then I would like call up the president of like the whatever record label he was signed to. And I was like, hey, this is Michael Guido. We need to speak immediately about a matter regarding Jay-Z. And they'd be like, oh, right away. And they'd like punch me through. And then I'd get on with like Craig Kalman or whatever. And I'd be like
the president of the record label.
Yeah. I'd be like, whatever you do, don't hang up. This is just me. Like, I just want to play my music. And you know, I got very close with, you know, a bunch of the assistants, because I would call all the time and I used to do meetings with the assistants. And like there was a guy who worked at Atlantic Records who he was one of three assistants for the president of the company. And I would like come into town all the time. I would like drive up just to like meet with him, like right after. I would like skip school to go there. And, you know, that guy's my manager to this day.
Wow.
You know, we're talking 20 plus years later.
So you're like driving up to New York City for the weekend, trying to get meetings, trying to get into the music industry. What are you eating? What's the food on these in these moments?
I used to sleep in the McDonald's at Times Square because it was 24 hours. So we would just sleep. We would just order one thing from McDonald's and we had no money. So we'd order like one meal for like four of my friends and we would just sleep there all day until they kicked us out. The food was not... it was not a thing. Like the food, those were not like the proudest moments of my food culinary journey. I was like, I don't even know what I was eating.
But then, so as you started to get more established in music, would you remember the first time that you started to kind of step from this kid just trying to annoy people to actually getting real responsibilities?
I was working as like an intern, okay, for this guy named Disco D, and I was in like sessions and I would be the food guy and then I'd go like pick
send
up the
intern
food.
Out and they would send
I was
you
the
out.
Runner right. Yeah, I was the runner. And one time this guy, he's an artist named Spank Rock, and it was like him and Mos Def and Santi Gold, all these people were like in the studio, and I was just the guy who like came in to order. And this guy Naeem, his name is, of Spank Rock, he was like, hey, what do you think about this line? Before I could take his order. And I was
like a lyric.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then, you know, the next day we were in the studio and I came in to get his order again. And he was like, hey, you know, what rhymes with so-and-so? And I was like, oh, told him. And then eventually I was like writing rhymes with him. And then 8 months later, or a year later, we wound up like making music. And that was like the kind of the beginning of my, I mean, I had like all these moments that happened before, but this was like the real deal beginning, you know?
By 2007, Benny had his first writing and producing credits with Spank Rock. From there, he quickly catapulted himself to a whole new level, soon working with Britney Spears and Katy Perry. Part of that quick rise came because he never lost the hustle that allowed him to impersonate lawyers and sleep in McDonald's just to get his foot in the door. But it wasn't just the hard work that made him popular in the industry. It was his talent as a producer and something else about Benny. In a New York Times profile from 2018, he credits 75% of his success to, quote, being a good hang. What do you see as your job as the producer when an artist comes into the studio to work with you?
I mean, essentially, I'm a therapist. My job is the person comes in, I say, oh, how you doing? They're like, oh, I'm good. I say, no, how you doing? They're like, no, I'm great. And then I'm like, how you doing? And they're like, ah! It hates me. My wife's going to leave me. You know, it's like, and basically I have a very short time to really form like an amazing connection with someone, make it so they can trust me, and then make something good with them.
This ability to get people to open up is crucial. Benny's whole job is to help artists write songs that get at something meaningful and emotional, and then deliver powerful performances in the studio. To do that, the artists need to feel very comfortable with him. And Benny says food often plays a major role in that process.
Food is like the natural lubricant to anything. It's like, you want to have sex? Have a good meal. You want to, like, close a deal? Have a good meal. You want to, like, get someone to open up their deepest, darkest secrets to you? Have a meal, you know? So everything kind of revolves around food with me. It always has.
And so what are some examples of times that you've used food to get artists comfortable in the studio?
I remember, like, the first time I was working with SZA in the recording studio. We were at my house, and she, like, went down to get a drink, and she saw something in the fridge, and she was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's, like, banana pudding. And she was like, oh, can I have some? And she, like, had one bite. It was, like, in a big, like, sheet tray. And then, like, by the end of the day, there was no more banana pudding left. She would just, like, sneak down for bites. And then every time she came to the studio, she needed, like, a banana pudding. She needed, then it was like, oh, wait, what else do you make? Then it was like, lasagna. Then it was like, there was a time when SZA said, I'm not coming over unless you have spicy rigatoni cooked for me. And she was like halfway joking, but halfway serious. And cause all bark demands at her, I'll be like, we need to get this vocal done. And she's like, we need to eat the spicy rigatoni. And there's always like a bartering system between right. us. And then we wound up like cooking more than making music. You know, I don't want to even make music. All I want to do is like eat food. And then somehow I make a song. Honestly, making a song is like, it's really like, I like black out and then I like wake up with crumbs on me and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, whoa, we got a song. It's finished.
Coming up, Benny takes his love of food to a new level when he begins hosting his now famous dinner parties. Then later, he reveals his burning hot takes on what foods he likes to eat, freezing cold. Stick around.
It's time to open up a can of advertisements.
Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I have several more very exciting Anything's Possible events to tell you about. First off, I'm teaming up with the Whiz Kid chefs at Cafe Mars in Brooklyn for a dinner event. Cafe Mars is a very unusual Italian restaurant. Like me, they are not afraid of tweaking traditions, and they have planned a whole incredible menu inspired by Anything's Possible. It's next Thursday, May 9th, one night only. The book will be for sale, and I will be there to hang out and sign copies, so I hope you'll join me. Then, on May 16th, I'm doing a virtual cooking class with Milk Street. So wherever you are, come hang out and cook. As we get ready for summer, I'll be featuring two super flavorful, super easy dishes from the chapter of Anything's Possible entitled Pasta Salads Redeemed, Fresh and Bright, Hold the Mayo. It's going to be a ton of fun. Get info on both events, including coupon codes for the Milk Street class at sporkful.com/events. Finally, there are just 4 spots left in my pasta pilgrimage trip to Italy. You can go to many of the same places I went to on my cookbook research trip and hang out with many of the same people. Eat in Rome with Katie Parla. Take a cooking class in Lecce with Silvestro Silvestori. And eat spaghetti all'assassina in Bari with me. Come on, let's hang out in Italy and eat pasta together. It's going to be great. Sign up at culinarybackstreets.com/sporkful. Okay, back to music producer, artist, and cookbook author Benny Blanco. A few years ago, Benny started getting more serious about his love of food and parties. He was long past his George Foreman grill phase. That's when he and his friend, cookbook author Jess Damick, started throwing dinner parties at Benny's house in L.A., hosting a variety of celebrities and creatives. These gatherings became such a thing that the New York Times wrote a feature about them, which said that Jess is, quote, poised and deliberate, while Benny is frenetic, verging on feral. The article says Benny channels that energy into party planning.
I'm just like, well, who do we want to invite? Are we going to drink wine? What type of wine are we going to drink? Are we going to like smoke weed? Will weed make some people anxious? Do we care? How do you like kick your friends out? It's like midnight. I want to go to bed. Like, what are the ways I can kick them out but make them still love me the next day?
How in the weeds are you with Jess planning the menu?
Oh, my God. I mean, whether it's Jess or doing it myself or right. doing it with other friends, you know, we're sitting there and everyone gets mad at me because I like to be ultra prepared. I like to be so prepared. I want to have everything ready. I want to know exactly what dinner thing I'm going to make. I want to know, I want to prep it days before.
But Benny also knows that you can't plan everything. The best parties often have something unexpected, like what he describes when I ask him what his parties look like.
You walk in, things are happening. We're like, people are crowded around. I have this big island. Everyone's crowded around. People are sitting on top. You know, you got to be able to cook with people in the way. I got people sitting on the ground. There's people sitting on top. People are smoking. We're drinking. We're passing, you know, champagne back and forth. There's music playing. There's probably like a French woman walking by with two babies on both of her breasts, and then someone's feeding the babies like some pecorino they just brought back from Florence. And then, like, there's always some man who's currently, like, just found himself or is about to find himself, and he did, like, 18 tabs of acid. And then my mom's walking around wearing like an insane shirt that says like bada bing baby and like sparkles or something. You know, you're sitting there and maybe one of your favorite musicians is just like jamming on like a piano in the other room. And you're like, what is that? And, you know, everyone is helping out. We're pulling things out. There's always little things, appetizers to eat while we're waiting. I got all sorts of little things out. My dogs are running around. There's like children. It's like a zoo. It's like Noah's Ark. There's two of everything. And it just feels like when you step through the door, you're like, wow, I'm home. You know, that's what I want to create. I want to create, whether it's your first time there or you've been coming for, you know, to 40 dinners, I want you to say, I feel like everyone in here is safe. I feel like I'm going to have a fucking rad night.
Right. And it's interesting, Benny, because I think that like, in some ways, your vibe is very much like, hey, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a great time. We're going to wake up with crumbs on us and not even realize that we made a record. We're going to smoke weed. It's going to be great. But also, you're also someone who's going to obsess over every detail and plan it to a T.
But that's what you want it to feel like. So if you're doing this right, everyone thinks this dinner party just, because you don't want to say like, oh my God, I stayed up all night prepping all this, getting all this right. They want to come and be like, think that it just kind of fell together and it's just like magic and they're there and they're like, wow, this is beautiful. But really you put a lot of time and effort into it and you're thinking about like, you're like, okay, well this friend doesn't eat cheese and like this friend is vegan and like this friend doesn't like the smell of smoke like while they're eating. So I'll put them over here. You know what I mean?
It reminded me when I waited tables a million years ago, we had a manager who said the restaurant should function like a duck on a pond. Like the duck is floating across the surface of the water. It looks so serene. It looks so relaxed. But underneath the surface of the water, it's paddling furiously.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that sort of your approach to life beyond cooking? Kind of like you like everything to look like it's chill and effortless, but in reality, that takes a lot of effort.
I mean, I don't want it to be that. I think it kind of is by virtue, you know, if you're doing a lot of things. But I want to be paddling less.
But see, like, sometimes I feel that way about my own life and work too. But then I'm sort of like, but do I? Like, you and I are people who like clean countertops and clean floors and folded laundry, Benny. You know,
I know. Then you start paddling less, and then you're like, oh, fuck, I want to get over there.
Right. Like, that's right. So, like, I feel like it may just be in our nature to always be paddling.
Yeah, it's true. Shit. Well, can I at least get a fucking floaty or something?
But for now, at least, Benny's not showing signs of slowing down, especially with this new cookbook. He wrote Open Wide, a cookbook for friends with Jess Damick. It's both a cookbook and party manual, inspired by their get-togethers.
We were having these amazing dinner parties, and I just realized, I was like, okay, well, if I can create this at my house, how can I put a handbook together so people can do this at their own house and have like the exact same feeling and time that I'm having? I wanted to do something that could get everyone cooking. It's not only cooking. I want people to be able to just bring a big group of people together and have a fucking awesome time. Like, who wants to go to like a nightclub when you can like have like a 10-person dinner party at your house and laugh your fucking tits off?
The book includes advice from Benny and his friends about throwing a great party, from the stoner actor Ben Sinclair's tips on incorporating weed into the festivities to Benny's treatise on how to kick people out at the end of a long night. Then each chapter focuses on a different theme for a dinner party. So there's a pool party chapter with recipes for broiled oysters and key lime pie. The chapter called Artsy Fartsy lays out recipes for a watermelon shiso slushy, tempura mushrooms, and miso caramel thumbprint cookies. One of the chapters that got me really excited is the saucy shawarma soiree. For that one, he teamed up with the chefs Michael Solomonov and Adina Sussman.
To me, a shawarma is it's one of my true treats, one of my favorite things.
Yes.
You know, because you're getting like all the fattiness of the meat. It's like dripping down your face. But then you're getting like crazy acidic onions and slaws and salads, and you're getting hot sauce and you're shoving French fries in it. And then it's in like a warm fucking pita latha. Are you out of your mind?
The chapter also has a recipe for Mike Solomonov's famous hummus, which he serves at his restaurants and sells in Whole Foods.
It's literally the creamiest. Like if you let it like sit out, like get towards room temperature, it is the fluffiest, creamiest hummus. His hummus is next level.
I love that. And I appreciate, Benny, that you're highlighting the temperature of different foods, not just like cooking temperature, but like letting things come to room temperature, I think, is something that a lot of people don't appreciate. Like any kind of hummus straight out of the fridge is not great.
No, disgusting.
It's always going to be better if you let it come to room temperature. Every cheese should be out of the fridge for at least an hour, ideally 2 hours before you serve it.
Yeah. Here's a crazy one. I love pizza like piping hot, so it's like my mouth is completely burned. My lips are burned, but I also love it cold. I also love it room temperature. Indian food, I like even better the next day. Yeah. Like Indian food, I want like out of the fridge, coagulated, like, I don't know. There's just, you know, I love Chinese food freezing the next day. And certain things, like, there's certain things where it matters. Like sometimes, like if I'm having like chips with creme fraiche and caviar, I would want the creme fraiche not too cold. But if I'm having like a soft shell taco with like beef and I want some sour cream in it, I want that sour cream pretty cold because I want to like taste it, you know. And sometimes you want the cheese melted, sometimes you want it just shredded on top and not melted.
I appreciate that you put this much thought into this, Benny.
Thanks.
You have a picnic section in the cookbook. What are some of your strategies for a successful picnic?
Picnic, you don't want your shit to get soggy. Don't let shit get smushed or soggy. That's it. There's nothing worse than like a sandwich and the bottom bun or bottom piece of bread is just like as if like someone like pissed on it. Like right, like right then. It's like soggy, soapy. You're like, what am I doing here?
I mean, I think that people don't put enough thought into the layering of in a sandwich and the role that gravity is bound to play in bringing any kind of moisture towards the bottom bun.
Oh, layering is so important. It's insane. I do like a crinkle fold of the meat. It depends on what type of sandwich you're making, though. There's so many. Not every sandwich is created equally. And some sandwiches are supposed to be messy. Things are supposed to fall out. Some aren't. You know, some sandwiches are really delicate. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind messy, but if it falls apart to me, that's
no, it can't.
That's an engineering issue.
Yeah. But like some, like if you're having a sloppy Joe, it's got to fall apart.
Well, right. I mean, the word's in the title. You know?
Exactly. Like, but I will tell you, if I'm having a burger, I don't ever want it to fall apart. Like a burger needs to be so intact. Like if a burger falls apart, you have failed me.
Now, despite all his passion for eating and many opinions about food, Benny will be the first to tell you he's not a chef. That's why he worked with Jess on the cookbook and why he throws parties with her. And he's come to realize that not being a chef is sometimes an asset in the kitchen.
A lot of times, like these trained chefs, they're like Michelin level chefs. The food tastes like shit because they're not cooking with love. They're not cooking. They're not thinking about what each person wants. And you know, I don't know. I just feel like when you're in there, you're making it, you're there with your hands, whether you learned how to like julienne this or do this, if you just go in and you do it and you're trying to have like the best time you possibly can, you're going to come out with something that's pretty good. And even if it sucks, all your friends are going to lie to you and say it tastes good.
Right.
And then if it's actually good, they're like, holy, yo, this is better than any restaurant.
Right. Well, and I think you're hitting on sort of like there's a difference between things that are sort of, that taste good in a sort of intellectual way
versus things that taste good in like a visceral way.
Yeah, like a, yo, this is fucking delicious.
Right, like, and I so much more gravitate towards just like something that's viscerally like delicious.
Yeah. I don't want something that like looks like an acorn, but it's actually like cantaloupe or something. Like, that's not what I don't want, like molecular gastronomy. I want to like sit down and be like, whoa, that's a taco. That looks like a taco and it's delicious.
As we were chatting, what Benny said got me thinking about a quote from the book Mo Better Blues by Questlove. In it, he says that the music critic Stanley Crouch eventually turned his back on avant-garde jazz because people want to dance to music with a beat that's familiar, something they can follow. I paraphrase the quote for Benny.
At the end of the day, like, you want everyone out of their seats and off their asses and jumping up and down. Like, you got to play in 4-4 time.
Yeah.
And I think like about that a lot in the idea of food, of sort of like the difference between like a Michelin star chef trying to do something no one's ever done versus someone just doing a really good version of something that everyone knows and loves.
It's like, just make a pizza. You know, it all goes back to like that 13-year-old me making something over the George Foreman. You know, it's that, it's... I just think it shows people that you really care. And it's like a way to like really connect with someone is food.
That's Benny Blanco. His new cookbook is called Open Wide, A Cookbook for Friends. And hey, if you want to win a copy of that book, all you got to do is sign up for the Sporkful newsletter by May 24th, and you will be entered to win. If you're already on the list, then you're already entered into this and all of our giveaways. Open to U.S. and Canada addresses only. Sign up now at sporkful.com/newsletter. Next week on the show, I go to see a box of artist Georgia O'Keeffe's handwritten recipes, which went up for auction. And I ask the question, can a box of recipes bring Georgia O'Keeffe back to life? While you wait for that one, check out last week's episode with New York Times food writer Priya Krishna about her new cookbook for kids. Hear why she thinks kids are the best recipe testers she's ever worked with. That one's up now. This episode was produced by me along with managing producer
Emma Morgenstern
and senior producer
Andres O'Hara.
It was edited by
Nora Ritchie.
Our engineer is
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher Studios. Our executive producers are Nora Ritchie and Colin Anderson. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Alicia Schrader from Normal, Illinois, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.